Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
It's Healthy Gut Girl, Kitty Martone, and this is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. And I am so excited because my guest today, I got to tell you, I really have had like a, I don't know, girl crush, I guess they're calling it now. Like, I've just been sort of admiring from afar this guest today, because she's just kind of like the antithesis of me, like physically, you know. It's like, it's really funny too, because her name is Kitty, my name is Kitty, although that's her birth name, not mine. And, you know, I live on this side of the world and she lives on the other side of the world, and she's blonde and I'm brunette. We both are in the wellness space, but she is super fit. And you all know who I'm talking about. Probably it is the wonderful and awesome Kitty Bloomfield. And, I guess when I got caught up in this whole metabolic world in the last year and a half or so, and, you know, I've been seeing her in passing, like through Instagram, even before this, last year and a half. And I was like, man, she's so fit. I was kind of jealous, you know, because, she's younger than me, but not by too much. And I just thought, you know, I have always wanted to be strong and fit. But I thought it was just unachievable and just like not, it's not my body type. It's not my thing. You know, not everything is for everyone. Weightlifting doesn't have to be for everyone. Like, I can just walk and do my plate fit or whatever. And then I got, you know, it more into the pro metabolic world and realized that she was in that world in a big, big way. And she, you know, knows Ray Pete and has interviewed him, and she works with Emma Skourakis. I think I say that right. And she, you know, has interviewed Georgie Dinkoff and Kate Deering. She's good friends with Kate, and on it goes. And I was like, wow, this girl's really embedded into this world, and I want more of it. And I want to learn what she is talking about, you know, because it seemed like it was not for me. All showing all these women, like, you know, growing muscles and stuff. And then, and really, truly, it was just, I was very, very jealous underneath, or envious is probably the better word. And so, anyway, because of Emma, we kind of ended up crossing paths more so because of the fact that I interviewed Emma, and Kitty and Emma both started Saturay. And that is the skincare line that I'm obsessed with now and have been using for a couple of months and am just in love with it, completely loving. My favorite product is the face cream. It's so good. And anyway, so we ended up kind of, you know, talking, and then I was on her show, and then she was on my show. She's about to launch our show soon, and then I will also air that show as one of my episodes. Because of course we talk about progesterone. But then today, I wanted to tell you kind of a cool surprise. Well, not a surprise. I give it away in the end of this episode, but I'll tell you more about it afterwards. But in the meantime, please enjoy the very, very funny and sassy Kitty Bloomfield.
Blue skies. So we walked the dogs on the beach today. Every day I walk and I think, oh, I'm just so glad that I live here. I'm so happy that I live here. It's pretty nice. Probably like you, like most of the time it's nice. Occasionally we get weather. But yeah, it's just so beautiful.
Yeah, we've had these atmospheric rivers, which I've never heard of ever. And they're it's just been like for 3 months, I guess. It's just been raining and foggy. I feel like I'm in London, honestly.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. But do you play the piano?
My husband and I are learning, yeah. Well, I wouldn't say play, we just learn, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Is it hard?
It's so hard. Well, you know what? It's just like practice. It's like anything, you know, which is really what I know we're going to talk about this. But it's like, you know, it's discipline. It's just sitting down and doing it. And that is like, some people are better at that than others, I think.
Well, I think too, like Craig, because Craig plays a guitar. And he has done it for a while. He's got like four guitars. And he said to me like 6 months ago, he's like, I'm going to invest in some proper lessons so that it keeps me accountable. And he's been doing it. And I hear him like at the end of the day, he's in his office doing his guitar practice. You know, he's been pretty disciplined with doing it, but he really enjoys it too, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, I'm a bit shit like that. I'm so like, yeah, I'm just working, training, and I just feel like that's an excuse. So I don't want to do anything else, isn't it? Yeah. Like if I wanted to do it, I'd do it.
Yeah.
I'd make the time. If I wanted to learn an instrument, I'd do it. But you're right. You just got to be disciplined.
Yeah. Well, I want, which is, you know, discipline. Like I have always blamed it on as an excuse on my parents, the parenting. I'm like, you know, my mom and dad just never disciplined us into doing sports or extracurricular activities, let alone even homework. Like they never held us accountable in that way. They would just be like, you better get good grades and that's it. And then I joined gymnastics and I joined dancing and I joined this and that. And then I would just get bored or quit or it'd get hard and I would bail. And I was lucky because I was kind of, you know, thin my whole life. And so I just thought, oh, this is going to be fine. I can do whatever I want to do because I'm not going to get heavy or anything or get out of shape. Well, I got into.
Look, I don't know, like, because you talk about your parents.
Yeah.
And if I think back to when I was a kid, my dad is a very disciplined person. So very routine, very structured. You know, he, like, for obviously as long as I've known him, which is my whole life, he's always gotten up at 5 and gone for his walk. You know, he's very structured. You know, we'd have to do these jobs. We'd have to, you know, sit down and do our homework, you know, like. And back then I probably thought it was a bit annoying, but I'm very much like him. You know, I love discipline and structure. And it's so interesting. Like I recorded this podcast with an old client of ours. She was in the program for 2 years. She had PCOS, no PCOS anymore. She's younger though. She's in her 30s. But we were just talking about, you know, discipline is freedom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's obviously just been Easter for everyone. And before I was always like this, like all or nothing mindset, you know, restricting, and then it was totally off the wagon. But the discipline, you know, during the week, like I prep my food, make sure I eat enough, get enough protein, I train, I do my walks. And then over the Easter period, we had, you know, still some structure, still walked, but I didn't track my food. You know, we went out a lot, had some alcohol, but having been disciplined has allowed, and she said the same thing, like I don't stress anymore about the food. So I know when I go out, I just, okay, got to prioritize protein. You know, so I'll look at the menu and eat something, you know, I eat, you know what carbs to eat. I'll have a couple of drinks, but won't go crazy. And your weight just stays the same. You know, your body stays the same. You don't have any crazy health issues. So that discipline, I think, really equals freedom and allows you then to, because I would never be able to do that. I would always have to be like, I've got to stick to the plan. I've got to be structured. I've got to be perfect. Whereas now I really enjoy the discipline because it makes me feel better. Like after Easter, even though I had a good time, I was like, oh, I just really want to get back to my normal meal plan and, you know, sleeping, going to bed on time because you're tired. You just have late nights, have a few drinks here and there. And if you obviously continue to do that, that's when you run into trouble. But, you know, but I don't feel stressed out about doing it. And I just enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Totally. Yeah. And you're right. Cause I wonder also if there's a person, if like personality types like lend themselves to being more like alpha or A type personalities, which are more regimented. But is that nature or nurture? I know that's another conversation really, but my husband is same, just like you. His dad was very, very strict. And so was his mom in terms of education. She played the piano. They were just, you know, he was going, attending, not just his schoolwork, but sports, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, go down, whether it was wrestling or basketball, whatever it was just part of his life. And now if, you know, we go on vacation and I'm like, let's just do nothing. He can't do nothing. It's just not, it's so ingrained in him to wake up early and to do something, you know, physical, stay active. And I'm so envious of that. And so I, you know, people might think, what, you have to be, I bet you people are going to listen to this and go, they're shocked to hear that I'm not disciplined because of all the supplements.
No, I wouldn't think that about you either. Because obviously you've created a successful business.
Yeah. But I feel, in fact, I'm so frustrated. And I think a lot of times this is why. It's because I see all the frayed ends. And I'm not a perfectionist. I'm not. And my partner at Ono's would laugh, I'm sure, at that. But I'm not. I truly am not. And I hate that. You know, I look around and I'm like, I could be so much better off physically right now, heading into menopause, if I could be more detail oriented and more like strict with myself. So can I adapt that now, do you think? Or is it just like, well, you're already 53. Good luck.
I mean, like, I think you probably are doing a lot of the things already. So where is it specifically that you think that you're not doing the right thing?
Or we could do more? Yeah, I guess it's because I'm maybe not consistent. So like, you know, like for example, I just joined a new gym and because I was going to, and we're going to get into this hopefully, which is I was going to this like a, it's called Plate Fit. So it's like a vibration plate exercise class and it's only 27 minutes, which is what attracted me to it because, you know, I'm one of these adrenal fatigue history people where I end up, you know, working out too hard and then end up with adrenal fatigue or, you know, all these things. And so I thought 27 minutes, how could I go wrong? Well, it's 27 minutes of like, you know, extreme exercise, just vibrating at like, you know, and so I quit. I joined another gym. I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm too busy right now. I'm too busy with all these other things. I'll get to that. I'll go back to the gym eventually.
So it's the training that you is where you feel like you could be better and more consistent.
Yeah. And I mean, in every way, honestly, like, you know, I'll be really consistent with certain supplements. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I don't feel this one working. And then I just didn't do it long enough or really consistent with tracking my food. And then all of a sudden I'm not, it's just like, I fall off.
Yeah. But do you experience, you know, like you're not experiencing symptoms or heaps of weight gain or anything that's so painful to make you go, you know, I need to try and be more consistent. Are you?
I was in a really good place for a long time, thanks to progesterone and pro-metabolic everything. And then I got closer to menopause. And now it's like, honestly, I can almost feel the estrogen leaving my circulation and going into my tissues. Like I can feel these strange things happening to my body. And I'm like, I'm doing everything right, I think, you know? And I, you know, I don't mind talking at length about me because I know for a fact there's so many women in my
that
group who can relate to this.
Regularly. Well, what would you say to them? This just thinks so funny, Kitty. You know, the thing that comes to my mind that, you know, if I'm ever in a situation where I think, okay, I really want to achieve this, like hire a coach. Our program. It'd be perfect for you. You
know, I think,
I always say this to women when I'm chatting to them on calls, you know, I think it's like when you're a kid, did your parents ask you to brush your teeth? Yeah, they probably had to ask you, right?
I think so.
For a while. Like you didn't just, they asked you once and you're like, okay, great, I'm brushing. Now do you just brush your teeth without thinking?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so like that's a good example of external accountability turning into an internal habit. You know, I always say to women, like when they come into our coaching, not that I'm trying to sell you into our coaching program.
Go, do it.
You know, like you're working with a coach long enough, you have that accountability in sport. Same as when women work with you. They do it for long enough that eventually they're like, this is the new me. You know, because I think when you don't have that accountability and support and it's not naturally, you're not naturally that way, it's easy for you to go, I'm just not going to train. I'm not going to make it a priority. But I think when you, one, invest money, enough money to, it stings you, right? Like I don't like to waste money.
Yeah.
We always invest in business coaching and like the last couple of years we've invested the most we've ever invested, like a really big amount of money. And every week I think, fuck, I don't want to like not do that because we're wasting money. But two, you know, like when you have to show up to that call or do your check-in, you've got that coach there, you're much more likely, I think, to do it.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I would agree. In fact, that was the thing with the same thing with a business coach that I just hired now because, you know, working with Ona's and also doing my own thing, I was like, okay, I need help. And I told him when I hired him, I need you to be my boss. And he was for the first few weeks. And then he's, you know, he's focusing in on other projects and that for me. But I really need him to be like, I need someone to give me a schedule, you know?
And for the
amount that we're paying him, you better believe it. I'm like, I definitely. And so, yeah, and that's why I joined a gym because behind me here are all these workout things like mats and yoga mats and bells and things. And Charlie will use them, but I'm like, yeah, it's not going to happen. I just am not going to do it.
And you need a program, like you need a program that encompasses progressive overload, you know, like all that shit, like band. I mean, bands, you work out at home, like it's good if you can't do anything else, like in Corona and COVID, when we couldn't do anything, but you need to lift. weights. Yes. You need to lift progressively heavier weights to build muscle. You need a structured program that you can follow where you know what to do. And each week you're adding weight or you're adding reps over time, and that's going to help you build muscle. And I think, you know, obviously it's the beauty of having a coach, because they'll look at you, you know, look at your lifestyle, build you out a program that's specifically for you, that fits the amount of days you can train, how long you can train for. You know, in our program, we get women to record themselves lifting so that we can really help them, you know, make sure they're lifting correctly and efficiently, and that they're pushing close or to muscular failure. So training with the right amount of intensity, because I think that's a lot where a lot of women, you know, they're not making progress in building muscle because they're just not lifting heavy enough weights. But heavy is relative, right? Like women message all the time going, oh, Kitty, you're so, I'm like, yeah, but we're not going to make you put 100 kilos in your back straight away. You'll start with some like dumbbell squats, and we'll really nail that technique. But I think like it's just accountability. You need that accountability, right? And the structure, you need a plan. You need someone to go, okay, cool, you're here with this body composition and these health issues, and you want to get to here. And so we're going to map out a plan that's specific, and we're going to show you exactly how you can get there. And if you just follow what we say every week and eat the food and do the training and, you know, do your check-ins, if you be consistent most of the time, because obviously no one can be perfect, get there. You know, and I think, like, I just think, you know, people that follow me when I'm pretty, like, just say it as it is. Like, I just think sometimes you've got to go, like, I always say to women, if you're the same as you are now in 12 months' time, will you be happy? And they always say no. I say, well, look, then pull the trigger, invest in the coaching, because, you know, like, past behavior is a good indicator of future behavior if you haven't been able to do it before. And you're not unique. I mean, you know, like, it don't feel bad. I say to women that you need support, that you need accountability, you need a plan. Like, I'm pretty driven and motivated and disciplined, but I have a coaching business, I have a coaching training, you know, and same as you.
Yeah.
So I think, like, it's not, and you'll just, no. Like, I think when you invest in coaching, and like women invest in coaching, you just learn so much more. Mm-hmm. You'll shortcut the process, not as in it's quick. Like, we all know it's not a quick fix, but quicker than if you're trying to fluff around yourself, and then you're not showing up for yourself, and then you're like, oh, I keep just doing the same thing. Well, eventually you've got to go, well, what's the definition of insanity, right? Just doing the same thing over and over. And you know, so many women, and I'm not sure if they say this to you too, like when I interview women who've done our program, they say to me, oh, Kitty, I just wish I'd done it sooner.
Yeah. I know, it's heartbreaking.
You pull the trigger. Yeah.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking because it's, you know, that I'm kind of working my way backwards on my little list of questions here because I start at the bottom, but that's okay. But one of the things was, you know, I was just visiting my sister. She's going through a divorce, or she went through a divorce. I went to New Mexico to see her in Santa Fe, and we hung out, and it was really nice. And she is really, really frustrated because now she's depressed. She's a little older than me, so she's in menopause, and she's just, you know, what do you say to that? And you just said a lot, which I think is going to be useful, which is you need to be accountable. You need somebody, you need support, and you need someone to hold you accountable. But, you know, she's got all these health issues. So she's really exhausted from that. And then she's super depressed. Her energy is so low. And she's just like, she doesn't want to go. She wants to be different, but she doesn't want to do the work because she has no drive. Now, I know there's lazy, you know, but I also know that these health issues, hypothyroidism, you know, liver stagnation, adrenal fatigue, estrogen dominance, these things can just like level you. So what do you say to someone like my sister who's like, it's so daunting to look up at Mount Everest and my perfect body is up there. And I'm like, how the heck am I going to even begin?
Look, I've got a friend of mine that I've known her for years and years and years, and she got divorced a few years ago, and she, like, her husband's remarried and had a baby, and she had a period where she sort of, oh, you know, like after the divorce went off the rails. She's not overweight, but experienced a lot of symptoms, like health symptoms. Then she sort of got her shit together and she was like, that's it. You know, I'm not worrying about him anymore. And she, you know, got into training, was eating better. And then now she's sort of relapsed and she's experiencing, like, you know, night sweats and all this sort of stuff. And I just, cause I'm so direct, you know, and maybe this isn't the best approach. I'm not saying that this is just how cause I always think, I just want someone to be honest with me, you know, and I listened to her. I said to her, you know, like you keep saying the same thing, like you're going to waste your entire life. Shouldn't say this to your sister, but I said, remember when you were feeling good? Like, what were you doing? You know, you weren't focusing on him. You were focusing on yourself. You were training, you were eating well, you were sleeping. Cause she went to the doctor and they just gave her antidepressants and Valium. And I was just like, this isn't going to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, but she's not ready. Like, I've said things to her, and I said to her, I'll support you. I gave her a 7-day challenge. I said, look, just start with these small things, and maybe that's what you can do with your sister. You know, and I agree, when they're in that low place with no energy, it can just seem like too much. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, maybe start small. you know, just maybe give her a few small things to do. Just say, let's, you know, what's going to have the biggest impact? Like, I don't know, just eating, like changing some of the food she's eating, incorporating the carrot salad. Say to her, I just want you to go for a 10-minute walk every day after you eat, you know, and then just slowly build those habits in, and slowly she'll get better and then start to think, okay, I can do more. I can do more. Because you're right. Like when you're at that lower slow, some people just go, oh, fuck it. I'm just, that's it. I'm done. And they take this, you know, like massive action. And but then other people, they need that slow, gradual, you know, one habit at a time, build on it, build on it, build on it, get them to then start to feel a bit better. And then they can think more clearly and want to do more, I think. Yeah. But it's so hard, isn't it? Because when you can so clearly see what they need to do, and you're like, I just want to help you.
Yeah.
You know, I said to her, I was like, if you move, because she was going to move back to the golf, so that's it, I'll be on you. I'm like, you'll be coming over to train with me. I'm going to help you with your food. Yeah. I guess you can't make people want it.
Right. I know. I mean, that's the thing also. Wherever that spark comes from, that's kind of, and I think it, like you said, start with the little things like eating and then like walking, like that kind of thing is going to, because that's what's going to get your metabolism boosted. And that's where all that, that's where energy comes from. If we break it down to it, yes, the emotional, you know, part of it is heavy, and there's a spiritual aspect, and there's all kinds of pieces to it. But ultimately, your physical being needs to be energized, to make fuel, to walk, to feel good, to have a positive outlook on life requires energy. So we have to start from that sort of place, right?
Yeah. And you can just, and I've noticed with women in our program, you know, once they're feeling better physically, you know, they're sleeping, they've got some energy again, you know, they can focus and tackle these bigger emotional issues because they've got the strength there physically. They have it, you know, because, you know, I remember when I used to party heaps and take heaps of drugs and drink alcohol, like the come downs, and I just feel, you know, I was under eating, training like crazy. Like I would just feel, it actually makes me feel sick now thinking about how I would feel. And I couldn't think straight, you know, and any little thing would set me off because you're just not stable. You know, you can't make good decisions. So I think, you know, just going back to those basics, like you say, like just eating a bit more, changing some of the foods over, getting you to focus, like, let's just focus on protein. So I just want you to, here's a list of foods, eat four meals a day or whatever she wants to do, you know, just pick from here. Don't even track yet. Eat the carrot salad. I want you to walk every day. Do that for a week. Yeah. Do it for 2 weeks. You get some sunshine and then slowly she'll start to feel better. And, you know, then she can tackle the deeper emotional, because it's pretty taxing, you know, like I think about when divorced and I was just a loose cannon back then, you know, straight away back on the drugs and drinking and six months of being shit again.
Right. You know, what's interesting that you say that is because I, for Lent, my husband and I gave up alcohol. So for, you know, like 40 days or whatever. And, I mean, we've done like dry January, you know, in fact, we did do dry January this year and, you know, it's fine. But what I noticed was when for Easter Sunday, I had two martinis, which I probably shouldn't have gone straight back to that kind of thing. I should probably just maybe like had a kombucha or something, but I had like two martinis and I just felt like I was in a good mood, but then I started to feel tired. And then the next day, I was trying to recall what we had talked about. Cause I was trying to remind him of something that we were talking about and I could not remember. I couldn't remember parts of my day and I didn't black out. I mean, it was two drinks, but I'm like, wow, was that happening every time I drank? You know, was it having an impact on my like brain function or was that, you know, like it's a much bigger gun, I think, than people who drink.
Oh, totally. Right? There's nothing good about alcohol. Yeah, there's nothing. Like it doesn't do any. I mean, is it health wise? It doesn't do anything for you.
Nothing.
And I think, you know, like if you are someone who can't practice, because I still drink, you know, but like you say, like I sort of save it for special occasions. I drink way less. I make sure I drink water, I eat enough food. So I still enjoy it. And then I just accept that I don't feel very optimized the next day, you know, and I'll just eat my normal food, but I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But even Craig said to me, he's like, you know, when I first met you, you were just like, I'd come to his house and bring a bottle of wine and just drink the whole bottle of wine. He's like, now you just, I try and stick to, because I love champagne, but it makes me feel really shit. So I try and drink like cocktails, fruity cocktails, you know, two or three at a time. And if I do that, I can still enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I don't do it every day, you know, it'd be like once a month, maybe, you know, and just, I think it's up to the individual, you know, like Mel, one of our coaches, she was a big drinker and drug addict and she just doesn't drink now at all because she said, I can't do moderation, Kitty. So I just don't drink and I feel better for it. So I think, like you just, you know, think, I know it's up to you as an individual, you know.
Right.
If you want, I like having it every now and then. I don't think that's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not doing it, you know, to like to cope with stress or.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because I think it was Emma who was telling me, and I had heard it before from like Jessica Ash or something, but I didn't realize that, you know, alcohol craving, oh, maybe it was Georgie and Emma. Maybe it was the three of you in the podcast together. Anyway, it was like, you know, sometimes the craving, the addiction is coming from your inability to manage your own stress. So the cortisol is raising your adrenaline, and the adrenaline, you know, you're on your emergency hormones. So you need more fuel, more carbohydrate. I don't know, simple carb. I'm not sure what
well, I think
that
when
is.
You under eat too, and because I just noticed this from my own experiences, I used to really typical, like under eat the whole day, and I'd get home and I just need a few glasses of wine. And then as soon as I started eating more, that went away. You know, I think that's contributes to is the under eating and the stress, and you know, but I think, you know, a lot of women who come into our program too, they use it to cope with stress, and they once they start eating more, it does help, but they really have to, you know, it's a conscious effort to make a better decision in that moment and say, you know, one of our, she's actually a coach now, she does onboarding calls, Sonia. She was a big drinker before she joined the program, and she said she drink every night because she has three special needs sons.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so it's full on, and she would have alcohol every night, and now she just has it sporadically. Like, you know, she went out with the girls for something, you know, maybe once every few months. And, you know, there's times when she shared in our group when something, you know, really stressful has happened with one of her sons, and she's come home and she's really wanted to drink, and she's had to sit there and ask herself, like, how is this really going to help me?
Yeah.
So I think it is like so much of, you know, getting healthy and, you know, losing weight or building muscle, whatever. It's just these micro decisions every single day that you make that really add up to the bigger results over time, because it's sort of, you're trying to really break down the old patterns and the stories and the behaviors, I think, and create these new habits and this new identity, you know. So it's like, I used to be that one that skipped breakfast, and I'd have the coffee, and then I'd overtrain, then I'd come home and drink the wine, and then I'd binge eat. So it's like, you know, I think it, you can't expect yourself to just go flick the switch and I'm going to be perfect and I'm going to change. You know, it's just every day, you know, reminding yourself, who is it that I want to be? Like, is this decision going to get me closer, and stopping in the moment and thinking about it? And you won't be perfect, obviously, because it, you know, like women come to us, they've been doing the stuff they've been doing for years. And it's taken me a lot, you know, even we were chatting about it. Yes, it was yesterday, the day before. And I said to him, you know what? I'm really proud of myself for being practicing moderation, because I was the queen of like extreme everything. And I really feel like I really nailed the moderation thing now with the food and the training and the alcohol. And, you know, like, I know it sounds funny, but patting yourself on the back for, you know, these small little achievements and changing your behavior, because it's hard.
Yeah.
It is hard.
It is so hard. So what, tell me why it's important to track your food, like track your macros and stuff. Why is that important? And what is it for someone like myself who prior to probably a couple of years ago, I didn't even really know what that meant.
Well, I think, you know, like when you're trying to achieve a specific goal, so let's say, you know, you want to lose weight. Let's say you want to, you know, build some muscle and lose some weight. You've got this specific goal, and you also want to improve your sleep and maybe your energy levels. And I think actually eating adequate calories and, you know, getting the right micronutrients is going to get you part of what will get you to that goal. Now, if you're going along and not tracking your food and nothing's changing, well, how do you know what to change? How do you know what to improve? Because if you don't track and measure it, then you don't know what to change. So, you know, like for you, for example, you do it for a while and then you're like, oh, well, this happened and that happened. But because you haven't been tracking your food or tracking your training, like where do you even start?
Right.
You know, because once you start tracking the macros, tracking the protein, so I'm just going to explain the process that we use in our program because it'll just make more sense, I think. So, you know, you come into the program and we'll work out your current body composition, and then we'll have a list of the health issues that you have. So I'm just going to make some numbers up. Like, let's say you're 75 kilos and you're 35% body fat. And you sort of look at some photos and, you know, you and your coach have discussion and you want to get down to, I don't know, 68 kilos at 25% body fat. So your coach says, all right, we actually have to train on this much muscle and lose this much body fat. And then we want to improve your sleep and your energy levels. Let's say they're the two, or the perimenopausal symptoms. So, you know, we can track and measure your training, your food, your subjective and objective measures of habit, sleep, digestion, mood, energy, cycle issues, temperature, and pulse. So we set the nutrition, we set the training, and at the end of the week, you check in and we look at your measurements, we look at your photos, we look at all your subjective, you know, we look at all the data and we ask ourselves, are you actually getting closer to the goals that we set for you? Mm. And then if you've measured everything and you've tracked everything and things aren't changing or progressing how we want them, then it's much easier to go, okay, well, we need to adjust your food. You know, like, for example, maybe the calories and macros we set for you wasn't enough and you've dropped too much weight and your energy is low. So we go, okay, cool, we need to bump those carbs up a bit. And then let's test it again. And then the next week, like, oh, it's great. You know, I started sleeping through the night, my energy is way better. You know, I've got energy for training. Slowly my measurements are coming down. So, okay, we're on the right track now. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you don't track and measure it, then you just don't know what to change. And women, I think, and I understand this, they think, oh, it's going to be too restrictive and I don't want to track and measure my food because I'll become obsessed. And I used to think that too, because every time I tracked, it was always about restriction and cutting carbs and eating as little as possible. Mm-hmm. Whereas this process, I think if you can switch your mindset to go, this isn't about starvation. This is about education and empowering me to make decisions. It's about optimizing my body, you know, giving me enough energy to train so that I can sleep, so that I can, you know, do all my work and just feel really good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't, once you do this for long enough and you get to your goal, you know, like me, like I can eat a whole day without tracking and I know that I'm getting enough protein because I've done it so many times. I know, okay, I need to eat a couple of eggs for breakfast. I can look at a serving of protein and know that's about 150 grams. I know sort of like how much carbs I need to eat. Mm-hmm. So once you've done it long enough, then you can do it, I think, without actually tracking, and it's a great tool to fall back on. It's sort of like going, well, I want to be a karate black belt. You know, women go, I want to eat intuitively, but it's like, You can't eat intuitively because you don't know. You don't know if you're getting enough protein. You don't know if you're eating enough carbs. A lot of women track their food and they're like, holy shit, Kitty, I'm eating like, you know, 60 grams of protein. I'm eating 100 grams of fat. And then I'm hardly, you know, the carb, not much carbs. And then when we rejig their macros and they get consistent and they feed their body consistently, you know, with whatever schedule that suits them. You know, I think, you know, some women like four meals, some like five, some like six. It's about finding what works for you. But then when they do it, they're like, wow, I'm actually like feeling so much better and mm-hmm. I'm sleeping and I've got energy for my training. And it's much more, I think, empowering. And then it actually educates you and teaches you so much about your body. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think even like it's never this perfect journey. Like I was saying to Emma the other day, I was like, oh, you know, the last two cycles I've noticed after ovulating, my boobs have been really sore, which is unusual. Like I haven't had any of that symptoms for a while. And I said to her, you know, I eat lots of food, like 2,800 calories a day. You only train 3 days a week, but I'm quite active. But we've been so busy in our business and I have been training really hard. So I said to her, I'm just going to like up the progesterone after ovulation, you know, got the on-use cream, I've mm-hmm. ordered some of that. I'm going to add the mushrooms back in. I'm just going to pull a bit of volume back in my training, bit of intensity, not completely stop, just pull it back a bit, you know, not maybe be quite, because I'm quite active. And, you know, it's not about making these drastic changes, but once you're educated, you know, I know that I'm getting enough protein. I know I'm getting enough carbs. Probably throwing more food at it isn't the solution. And, you know, I've already noticed difference already in one cycle. So it's wow. just understanding, you know, like you say, like you looking at the entire system rather than, because I think sometimes we can go down this rabbit hole and go, I just need to make these drastic changes when, okay, what's happening in your life? It's not like I'm super stressed, like, oh my God, I'm not sleeping at night, but it's very busy, you know, and yeah. do a lot of calls and podcasts and then I'm training really hard. You know, maybe if I wasn't working as much, you know, and I had time to just lay on the beach after, and I train really hard, like I push myself. Yeah. So I'm like, you just have to pull it back for a bit, Kitty. Like what are your priorities now? Just be at maintenance for a bit, you know, because it's yeah. like body's giving you this symptom and telling you that there's something.
Right.
You know, so I think, but if I didn't track anything, how would I know?
Yeah. It's so interesting because so many of us are in that other boat, you know, where I mean, my whole life just under eating. And because the last, you know, 17 years of my life, I've just been like a healthy gut girl. So I'm a health oriented person. So I don't need to count my calories. I fit into my genes. I'm good. I'm managing my symptoms. I'm good. But so I think it's even harder for people like that who think they're healthy. Maybe they grew up like, you know, cheerleaders or they were athletes in school or whatever. And so they like think they have it together in that mm-hmm. way. And they're like, I don't need to track my calories. I know when, you know, I'm gaining too much weight or whatever, but that's not all it's about, is it? Like, it's not just about, am I just gaining too much weight? Like all of a sudden you're not sleeping through the night. Your boobs are sore. You have a heavy cycle. And you're right. You have no idea what you've done. And then these women, it's interesting because, you know, you said you're on the progesterone on Onas. So a lot of women will take Onas and then they'll get sore breasts or they'll have a symptom, an estrogenic symptom pop up, and then they'll automatically blame the progesterone. And you're right. It's like, well, if you knew what else was going on besides the fact that you just took progesterone, it might shed light on some other things that are going on for you. So
I think we talked about this, hey, on our other podcast that I'm going to release on my podcast, that like we talk, it's a metabolic stimulator, like putting the foot down in a car, and it revs the engine. If you don't have adequate fuel and nutrients, you know, like I always say to him, like, it's not a magic pill. You have to do foundational work. You have to have enough food, enough protein, enough calories, enough nutrients, then take it, because it speeds everything up. Like, you know, after you ovulate, your temperature rises, it increases your body temperature. And I notice it too when I take the progesterone. If you don't take enough, you know, too, it's like, but it's sort of like you can't out supplement your way to the body that you want, the health that you want. And it's annoying, I know, because it's just easier to take a body supplement. But making those lifestyle changes and being more diligent with your food. And when we say track, it's not about starvation. It's getting the right amount of calories for your body, you know, making sure you're getting adequate protein. Are you getting the, you know, carbs and fat right for you? Like, once you do this for a while, you'll know, like, if I, you know, on the weekends, if I've actually tracked and where I've really eaten much higher fat and lower carbs, I don't do well on that. Like, I don't sleep very well. Like, I know that I need those higher carbs. Mm-hmm. And some women like a little bit high fat. You know, like they do well, like in our program, some do better on high protein, some on a little bit lower, but you don't know that until you actually test it for a while and track it and then measure things at the end of the week. And I think, you know, there was this lady that posted in our 7-day challenge group. She's been in the Win at Life program before and she's been out of it for a while, and she's, I can't remember her job, but it was such a great post because she said, you know, I was sort of a little bit disappointed this week because she's lost like 12 or 15 kilos and she's been tracking everything. And she said, my weight just actually stayed the same this week, or maybe it went up. And she said, I went back and looked at all my data, very stressed, didn't sleep well, I ate an average of 900 calories over what I would usually eat. So she said, it just made me realize I could look at it objectively and not get all emotional and go, okay, cool, I can see why this week that this happened. So next week, you know, stress has subsided, sleeping better, back to my normal plan, rather than getting all like, oh my God, what's happening? What am I doing? Getting all emotional, making drastic changes. She doesn't need to make any drastic changes. And she said, it's so empowering being able to look at that data and know.
Yeah. That just blew me away. Because you, like you said, it brings you freedom. Like, discipline brings you freedom, because that is a type of freedom. Otherwise, you feel like you're in bondage to your symptoms and you're, you know, you feel like a slave to how you're feeling. You wake up and you're just like, oh, here I am again. And then you're just in a type of bondage or slavery. That is so good. And I'm getting super excited.
It is. And I think even Craig, I say to Craig, like, we know now too, like Kate, we talk to Kate Deering a lot, like Craig just sort of consults with her on certain specific clients. And that we were just chatting about, like, because I think stress for different people presents itself in different ways with symptoms. Like for me, my cycle will shorten. I'll have a shorter cycle. My sleep will be shit. Mm-hmm. I've got the sore boobs. For Craig, it's always, he gets his like histamine response and digestion. That's his, but he can sleep. And you know, Kate said, because, you know, we're really pretty consistent with our nutrition. Like we track most of the time, we eat enough food. And she said, you know, sometimes, a lot of the time, it's just your body reaches this stress tolerance, right? And something will happen and it tips you over the edge. So for him, like, I think he was at the pointy end of his training. So he'd be training hard and heavy. He was due for a deload. We'd had a very pretty stressful week, you know, and it's like Kate said, you don't have to make these drastic changes. You just have to realize that, okay, my stress, like maybe I need a day off, have a deload from training, you know, shut the computer early a few nights, go have a, whatever you need to fucking do to, like, you know, stress. And then you notice that the symptoms will go and it passes without having to do any of these drastic things. And I think once you do this for long enough and you understand your body and how these symptoms present themselves, and you know, like with the symptoms of the boobs, I'm like, oh, I just know that I've been working hard and training really hard, and, you know, it's just been long. I'm like, I don't need to do anything drastic. Yeah. It's just making these small, and then just be patient.
Right. That's hard too. Well, that's the thing. Like if you feel like you are going on these swings, because that's, people have these reactions where they're like, it's the new year or summer's coming and look at me. And then they do these drastic diets or they go on keto or whatever. And then they've got a whole new set of problems in 3 months. Right. But it's like this discipline is going to free you up and, you know, allow you to have success. And, you know, it's just something that I've always lacked. And so now I feel like that needs to change, but let me get to this, some other questions here about, When it comes to working out, most women just feel like the harder they work out, the better it is. If they just work out hard, they're going to do great. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, why strength training and why not these HIIT classes? Why not CrossFit? I mean, I know, but you tell us why you don't think that's a good idea.
Well, I think, you know, like Craig is the expert in this. You know, I'm actually technically not, you know, I have my coaching qualifications, but I don't actually coach clients. But, you know, I guess it comes back to, so I think, what is the goal, right? So I always say to women, like, I think that you need to do what you enjoy, but your training also needs to be specific to your goal, right? And I think every woman should do some sort of strength training. You know, because as we age, we lose muscle, and muscle contributes to resting metabolic rate. It's like this sink for glucose. It improves your insulin sensitivity. You know, as you know, when you're 70, you're going to be way more mobile. You know, I caught up with this friend of mine, Toby, who I went to school with, and he's a exercise phys, and he works with clients like in their 70s, 80s, 90s, and he just does all these basic rehab, like strength training with them so they can be more mobile. And he's like, Kitty, it's amazing. You know, like if you see the people that have actually done it their whole life, how much more mobile and independent they are when they've strength trained.
Yeah.
And I think too, like, look, the majority of the women that come to us, they first of all, and it's fine to say, they just want to look better, right?
Right.
Yeah. They sort of, they're like, okay, great. This is the benefits of the, you know, they just want to look better. And to them, looking better is toned. And the definition of toned is just having well-defined muscles. So it's about, you know, you need to train in a way that actually builds muscle, and then you want to lose the body fat over the top of it. So like HIIT classes, boot camps, sort of progressive overload. So like think about, and this is just a simple way and how Craig explained it to me when I met him, because I was doing all the shit training. I was doing the RPM and the HIIT classes and the body pump, body attack, you know, and I didn't look like I look now. I wasn't able to eat the amount of food that I could. So he said to me, he's like, Kitty, well, you know, you want to look toned and athletic. You need to train like a strength athlete. So he said, you know, to me, let's say you've got two women that are 70 kilos and one can deadlift 100 kilos for 10 reps and the other one can deadlift 50 kilos for 10 reps. Who's going to be stronger and have more muscle?
Such a question.
No, who do you think would be stronger?
Yeah, the more, I guess, the heavier. Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. So like if you can go from deadlifting 50 kilos and then you can deadlift 100 kilos to 10 reps, you have to, I mean, at the start, there's obviously, you know, you're getting better at the technique. So there's the improvement through that, but then you get good at it. And then it said, as you add more weight, that's what builds muscle because you lift the weights, your body's like, oh my God, you know, it's this stress on the body, mechanical tension, the progressive overload. And then each time you go in, you're adding a bit more weight, you know, you're fueling your body. And over time, your body builds muscle. And that's how you build muscle, progressive overload. So you need to just basically get stronger than you are now. And HIIT classes don't do that.
Right.
You know, and so yeah. I think it's just the other thing too is when you strength train, you build muscle, you can eat more food. You can just eat more food. And I think, you know, part of that is having more muscle, you know, muscle at rest burns fat. Feel it needs more calories to maintain, but it's not a huge amount. But I think Craig and I've talked about this a lot. It's the recovery process from strength training that's so energy intensive. So you don't burn a ton of calories within the actual session or even when you do a HIIT class. But the difference is when you go into that gym and, you know, you're bloody deadlifting and then doing some leg press or whatever else you do and you push it, you know, with good form to technical failure, your body's like, holy shit, you know, I need energy to repair, you know, to replenish the glycogen in my muscles. And that takes a lot of energy. And I find with women in our program who put the time and effort into learning how to lift, do it properly, they push it close to, you know, muscular failure with good form, they actually can eat more food and change their body composition.
Wow.
Versus ones that just walk. Because there are women who cut, because technically you can lose weight without strength training. You can, because it's a deficit that will make you lose weight. But if you do the strength training, your body composition will be so much better. You will be able to eat more food, you know, and who doesn't want to eat more food? Like I said to Craig today, I'm like, you know, it's pretty, it's still this process amazes me. Like I eat 2,800 calories a day.
Wow.
I train 3 days a week. I'm quite active though. I'd probably do 10 to 15,000 steps a day. Some days a little bit less if I'm busy, but it still blows my mind at the small amount of training that I do to be able to eat this so much food. I've obviously put the work in to build the foundation. And if you're listening to this, I think, also too, like once you get, let's say you get to your ideal body composition, right? You're happy. To maintain that, you can do a third of the amount of work and you just have to maintain the weights that you've gotten to get to achieve that body. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you don't have to like keep going up and up and up.
No, yeah. Like That's amazing. Don't you think that's amazing?
It is. It's amazing. And it's encouraging too.
Yeah.
And so, but eating more for some people is stressful because they've got children and they're like, oh my God, how am I going to fit in four, let alone five or six meals? How am I going to do that? You know, but I know in a little bit of strength training I did in my past that it's like, you can't help it. You are starving. Yeah. You're hungry. Yeah. And so you make it work. And part of that would be meal planning, right? And meal prep.
That's right. Yeah. And I think again, like you sort of touched on it there. It's, there's no, like, I think just from, this is working with clients, that 3 to 6 meals, probably 4 to 6 meals seems to work well for most women. So it's not about going, I have to eat 6 meals a day. It's going, what is my calorie macro allocation for the day? You know, if you can try and spread the meals evenly, and you want to balance the protein, carbs and fat, because that, you know, is going to help you balance your blood sugar and keep it nice and stable. You can feel better. But then it's just going, what is going to work for me? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the, you know, some women will just have a smoothie for breakfast and, or they might have 3 main meals and 3 snacks and that works for them. You know, I at the moment have 4 meals and then I have some ice cream before bed and I'm having mushroom soup at the moment, but that works for me. But if you can only eat 3 meals, just eat 3 bigger meals. Mm-hmm. Feed your macros, do it consistently. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we can get so bogged down in some of the tiny little details and it's like, all right, number one, just get the right amount of calories and macros into you, do the meal plan schedule that fits and just do that for a bit. And then you can refine it and you can look at the nuances, I think. But it's like, you know, then get your walks in, do your carrot salad, just do those basic things. And then if you want to dig a bit deeper, you can. But I think it's about, just have to go, I think it's about getting resourceful too. Instead of going, oh, like some women will say to me, I can't this, I can't that. I'm like, well, of course you can't, because you just keep telling me all of the reasons why you can't do it. Be resourceful. Ask yourself how I can do it. It's not about, you know, work within the guidelines that we've given you, but then let's put a plan together that works for you.
Yeah. Like shifting and then your mindset. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, you know, you might do something for a few weeks and go, this isn't working. I just need to make an adjustment, test it again. And you'll find what works for you. You know, and then just like, you got to do the food prep. You're right. Like, honestly, that shit is even, you know, we had a big weekend. We did shit every day, family, friends. I was there bloody making the mushroom soup at, you know, 7 o'clock at night. So like, no, I'm having the mushroom soup this week. I made sure I just portioned up. I thought, okay, I've got to keep it simple. I don't have time to make any stuff. So I just got some lamb backstrack, portioned it into 150 portions, chucked that into my lunch, got some prawns, did the same thing. So my lunch this week is, I had some frozen rice in the freezer as well. So my lunch this week is just a bit of piece of lamb, watermelon and the cooked rice. That's it. So easy.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't take any time to prep, really. I eat the same lunch, same breakfast every day, and my dinners this week, I just cook up the prawns and I, you know, heat up some tortillas and make tortillas. It's really quick with orange juice. Mm-hmm. Made the ice cream. I just eat the prawns and I'm using up some stuff out of the freezer. I've just got some beef cheek bolognese that I made, boil up the pasta. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's keeping it really simple. I have yogurt and blueberries, this sweetened Greek yogurt. It doesn't take any time to prep. So just keeping it super simple, because it's hard, I think, especially for women with kids, like when they're busy, if you don't have simple things that you can grab or that you've prepared, you'll just eat shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll wait to that very last minute and then you'll just, eat anything.
Yeah. And eat the same thing for a week. Like women going, oh, but I want variety. I'm like, yeah, but like I bet if you actually track your food for a month, you'd probably eat 10 to 12, 15 maybe different meals. You go back to the same thing, trust me. So why not just pick one or two that you enjoy?
Exactly.
And then switch it out every week. You know,
it's funny. You're right. You default to the same things.
Yeah.
And, you know, Constantine was having me track my food and I had read Kate Deering's book a while back when I first started with all of this, a year and a half or whatever. And I was like, I'm not a food tracker. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then he said, send it to me and I'll do it. So he did it for, including my pulse and temp for like a couple of weeks. And he's like, you're getting way too much fat, because I had started doing dairy again. And I didn't even think about it. I was just in heaven having dairy all the time. And I thought, oh, it's good for me. It's pro-metabolic. It's going to do this. And that. I mean, and I was up at 142, which is really heavy for me. And I'm 5'8". And
I thought you meant 142 grams of fat. Sorry, I wasn't saying
sorry.
That.
No.
I was like, holy shit, that is a lot of fat.
It might have been, though. It might have been. No, 142 pounds for me is really heavy for me. And it was heavy. I could feel it all around my waistline. And I started to get these little, like, you know, what are they called? Like that from insulin resistance, like these little white skin tags. And I thought, what is going on? And then Constantine was like, you are getting way too much fat. You're not getting enough. Like, Anyway, so him tracking it made me realize how easy it is to do the wrong thing, or to just to do the things that aren't going to serve you. You know, I won't say wrong things, but they certainly didn't serve me. The minute I changed my dairy situation, that weight was gone. It was so
Yeah, because
interesting.
you're just eating too much calories. Like
Yeah.
you can eat too many calories of the right foods, of beautiful nutrient dense foods, but your body is going to burn a certain amount of energy per day. And if you eat above that consistently, you're going to gain weight. And you don't know until you track your food. And I think
Right.
when you just nail it and you get that sweet spot, you know, whatever your goal is, you know, women come into our program, some will be in a deficit, some will be at maintenance, and we're just focusing on body recomposition. A lot are in a deficit, or we'll go through periods, like we'll do blocks of deficit, then we bring them up to maintenance depending on what's happening in their life. Like if they're a lot of stress, you know, we said, let's bring it back to maintenance for a bit until the stress is over, then let's do another deficit, or they'll get lean and then they're doing muscle building. So and I think, yeah, once you look at it like that and it's not about starvation and you start prepping your food in advance and you just like, wow, this is really easy. And I
Yeah.
feel so good. Sorry,
Yeah.
my dog Henry is.
Oh, that's okay. I'm surprised I've not that my dog hasn't joined in. Okay, so I'm gonna touch on a touchy subject here. So, okay, we know that you come from a background in, having balanced macros. You are not a fan of low carb to no carb at all. And so keto and paleo is really not your thing. You don't think it's great for people. Can you just tell us why that is?
Well, I think, you know, like I remember because I was always doing low carb, right? You know, and when I found Emma and I read this article of hers, I think read it if you're listening to this, go to her website. She's got heaps of good blogs, but it's called Defending Fruit and Other Non-Complex Carbohydrates. And I read this paragraph in there. These aren't these exact words, but something along the lines of like clients will come to me with these incessant cravings and, you know, they think that they're weak. And she says to them, perhaps it's just your body's way screaming at you that you need glucose. So, you know, if you go and look at any physiology textbook, it will, you know, explain cellular respiration and that your cells require their primary and preferred fuel source is glucose. It's carbs, right? So they function efficiently when they're using carbohydrates. You know, they make carbon dioxide, you know, and your liver, you know, you need it to convert inactive thyroid hormone to thyroid hormone. You need it for so many things. It's energy, it's your source of energy. So why? Why would you just completely cut it out of your? It just doesn't make sense. And I was like, oh man, this is amazing. Like, no wonder, you know, when I cut them out, my body's like, I'm sugar craving because my body's trying to tell me, fuel me, fuel me, you know? And so an analogy that I ex use with clients is, you know, I say to them, look, let's imagine that you know, you bought this car, you're going to drive it to the other side of Australia, but you only put half a tank of fuel in. What's going to happen? And they're like, well, kitty, it's going to just stop. And so your body, you know, when you undereat, you don't get enough fuel. Your body doesn't just stop. You don't just fall over and die. It has built-in mechanisms to help it survive. So you know, release adrenaline, cortisol. Your body makes fuel, glucose, from non-fuel like carb sources, protein and fat, to keep your body alive. But this is a stress response. You know, yes, it's good to have in there in times, and maybe you don't eat enough, but you don't want to be living on stress hormones all the time. You know, but and you don't need to. Like the other thing is carbs are nice. Like they're yummy and they're enjoyable. It's just finding the right amount of carbs for you and your body. You need them. You're going to train better. You're going to sleep better. Like the amount of clients that come to us and when they start to eat consistent meals, balance their blood sugar, get enough carbs, so they're like, wow, I'm sleeping. Because, you know, your body's not waking you up in the night because it's, you know, you've burnt through all your liver glycogen and your muscle glycogen and it's going, shit, I need some fuel. But once you start tracking your food, you realize I don't have to do extreme things to lose weight. I just need to eat in a small calorie deficit. I need to strength train to build muscle. I need to walk. I need to do it consistently for a long period of time, you know, and then the weight comes off. It's not sexy and it's not quick. And it's like, you're going to, if you want to build muscle too, you need carbs. And I think that's a switch that I had to have with Craig is I was always thinking, he's like, you got to stop destroying the body that you have with restrictive diets and cutting carbs and doing all this cardio. It's like, build the body that you want with strength training and carbs and real food. So it's, you know, looking at body composition instead of just weight loss on the scales. And I know that's hard for a lot of women. Yeah, because when they come into our program, we're like, look, I mean, the very big women that are 100, you know, 80, 90, they will see the weight go down, but it might not go down as much as they thought because your body is putting on muscle, you know? And the other thing too is if dieting is stressful on the body, right? So like if you have a good amount of muscle, you've been eating high calories for a while, when you then go into a deficit, your body, it's like stronger and more resilient, mm-hmm. and you've got more muscle. And so I think whenever you go into a deficit, you will lose some muscle unless you're very new to training, you know, the newbies, or you've had a lot of time off training, you can build muscle in deficit still. But, you know, a lot of the women we work with will spend some time just getting them, like getting those consistent habits in place, eating a bit more food. You know, they've got that energy then to build the muscle. Mm. And once they've done that for a while, they've built up that calorie base, they've got more muscle. And then we put them into a deficit, like, fuck, they're like, look at this fat. It just comes off.
Yeah.
It's so, it feels more effortless. I'm eating more food to do it. So you've got to build that strong foundation first, and you need carbohydrates to do that. Mm. You know, I think that's what's so great about tracking the food. Because once I did it, I was like, oh man, like, why was I doing all this dumb shit for so long? I just needed to, I can eat carbs and get the body that I want. I remember this client I interviewed on our podcast, and she said, Kitty, I just wanted to find a diet where I could eat all the foods I loved and lose weight. You know, and she tracked religiously, and she would build in all the food she loved. Like, we've got this amazing, I'm not saying you should eat brownies for breakfast, lunch and dinner, but, you know, she'd eat liver and she'd eat potatoes and she'd eat saturated fats and fruits and she'd eggs and all those things. But then every night she'd have a chocolate brownie with a bit of ice cream. She's like, it's just brilliant. You know, wow. I'm eating all delicious food. I think she lost like 17 and a half kilos in, you know, like 5 months or something, eating wow. like 2,000 calories a day, because she was so consistent and she strength trained and she walked. And it wow. is amazing to, like, I think that's the whole thing around eat more, because it's not like you have to eat in a calorie deficit to lose weight. But once you become more consistent and you build muscle and you start walking, your actual deficit calories can be much higher than you think.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
You're still eating in a deficit, but it's like, because so many women are used to like, oh, I eat 1,200 calories, but then they go and binge.
Right.
Or they don't get enough protein and they eat too much fat, you know? So it's once you get consistent. Sorry, I sort of went off on a bit of a tangent there, but
that's okay. Yeah,
I don't know. It's just the carbs, like, and it's just so enjoyable.
Yeah.
Every day when I drink my fresh OJ, I'm like, I always say to him, oh, I just love orange juice. Right. He's like, I pretty much say that every single day for the last 8 years. I love my ice cream, love potatoes. It's so nice to look forward to food and not be scared.
Right.
You know?
I think also most people, when you say the word carbohydrate, you know, they're like, oh, I do low carb now or no carb now. And it's like, because they were eating bagels and croissants and
that's
pasta
right.
and all that.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think most people just associate carbohydrates with the way they were eating pizza and all those things.
And a lot of those foods too are high in fat. So we did a post on that and I was like, look at the tip. Like, I used to smash chips and donuts and biscuits. You look at this, like, if you look at the percentage macro breakdown, it's high percentage of actual fat. You know, when I ask women, if they say, oh, I cut all the carbs out of my diet, I feel so stressed. I said, well, were you eating fruit and drinking juice and drinking milk and honey and potato? They're like, oh, no, Kitty, of course not. I was eating fucking cakes. And I'm like, well, exactly.
Yeah, you that's know? Not a just carb. Right. There should be another word. We should come up with a different word for that. Well, it's just junk food, really, right?
Yeah, it's super hyper-processed. Well, I think when you feel you eat enough and you get those nutrient-dense carbs and you actually eat enough, I just don't get, like, I've got a thing of fudge in the fridge that I've had in there for 2 weeks. I've had like 3 slices.
Yeah.
Whereas before I would have eaten the whole thing in one go and felt sick. Whereas now I'm just like, oh, it just doesn't even, sometimes I feel like it.
Yeah.
But you can sit there and I don't think, oh my God, I've got to eat it. You know, because I'm actually eating enough and getting the nutrients that I need, and the binge eating just goes away.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, I think some of the things I run into now with clients and with the women in the group is that they're like, I can't drink orange juice because I obviously still have some kind of fungal issue. And so it activates like candida or something. And so, you know, so I think women will say, well, I can't do dairy, or I can't do orange juice, or I can't do. And so you just have to find what you can do.
Well, I think it's about, like, you know, like, you want to eat some sort of fruit or juice. So you're getting potassium, magnesium, vitamin C, you know, those minerals and vitamins. Mm-hmm. And you don't, I say to women, eat what you like. And so when we try and teaching women about the food groups, it's like, okay, here's the food groups that are going to give you the nutrients that your body needs. So you want to fill most of your diet with these foods. So, you know, with liver and oysters, dairy, you know, if you can't eat dairy, you know, let's work on fixing that issue. Cause I feel like 99% of women come to our program, once we improve their digestion and their metabolism, eventually they can incorporate some form of dairy to get calcium, mm-hmm. you know, because it's that stress digestive system, or it's the type of dairy. So, you know, I say to them, you don't have to drink juice. I'm like, what fruit do you love? They're like, a watermelon. I'm like, eat the fucking watermelon. You know, like, look at, you know, what proteins do you really enjoy? You know, where can you get your fat soluble vitamins from, and choose the foods that you enjoy, because you're going to stick to it if you enjoy it. It's not everyone has to eat orange juice or drink orange juice, right? I mean, it's great. I eat a lot of oranges. I just really like whole oranges. I ate 3 for breakfast.
Oh, I love them.
Same.
I'm doing a tart cherry juice now because I've discovered that the tart cherry juice, even though
Oh,
it's
yeah.
really tart, but I really, it doesn't have, I don't have any kind of reaction to it, and it's just yummy. I'll put up like some sparkling water in it, some gin. Just kidding. I mean,
Might
it's pretty, you really covered a lot of my questions without me having to ask them. I just wanted to, the question that's not even on here was, what about people that do really well on keto and have for years? Like, there's a
Well,
lot of women in the group who are so defensive about it and
I
really,
just
really
don't
mad
believe they
about
are really doing that well, though. Like, they don't, you know, a lot of women come to us and go, oh, fuck, I didn't really realize. Like, if they measured their temp and pulse and, you know, their cycle, and I just don't believe them.
it.
I just
Right.
don't
I'm going
believe
to
it. But
start
I also,
saying that. I don't believe it. I don't
well,
buy
not, but I think
it.
maybe they're unaware. You know, a
Yeah.
lot of women that come into our
Well,
program say, I didn't really realize that my digestion was so shit, or my sleep wasn't that good, or maybe my cycle wasn't that good until I started and things got better. I was like, oh, wow. You know,
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to like for me, I was doing the body ecology diet. I was teaching it. I was working with Donna Gates for years. So I was teaching people fermented foods and leafy greens and 80% plant-based. And you know, I defended it because so many of my issues had gone away, but I was still dealing with these other issues. So I was like, well, I didn't realize that until the last few years that is probably all the plant food that I was eating. And so same thing with the keto. So I wonder, like, I want to ask them, why are you in this group still? What's going on that you came? Why did you come to the estrogen dominant support group if everything is so rosy, right?
That's exactly right. So you probably, and it's like I was a bit in denial too. Like I was like the fucking sugar anti-Nazi Christ. You know, I would say like crap on and on about he shouldn't eat sugar, but then I was like binging on the weekend. You know, I was in this bit of denial about it. But then again,
Yeah.
I think, look, I always say to women, like when they comment on my post, I say, look, if it works for you, it works for you. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not here to try and convince you that you have to do this.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to do, like, follow our approach and guidelines, just don't follow my page.
Yeah,
Why are
exactly.
you here? Like, commenting and, like, you know, because I don't sit around and go into all the keto pages and say, you know, because I don't have time for that.
I
But
know.
I don't, I
Right.
think I've always said to people, if it works for you and you're happy, just keep doing it. Just
Yeah.
keep doing it
That's
because,
exactly what I say.
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
they
I
come
don't.
into the group and they're going on and on about how estrogen has helped them to supplemental estrogen and how supplementing iron saved their lives. And then I tell them why I think there might be some hidden issues going on that you're overlooking, and it might be helping some symptoms but making others worse. And then they get super defensive, and I say the same thing. I'm like, well, I don't. Okay, keep doing
If
it.
it works for you, keep. That's what I think too. I'm
Yeah.
like, it's, I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
You need to do what makes you happy and makes you feel good. And, you know, yeah, it's
Yeah.
okay. And you're right,
Yeah.
there are different things that work for different people and, you know, for various reasons and, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, well, so last thing is the 75 to 100 grams of protein, those sort of general oh, it's here.
Well, I think, look, if you're strength training and active,
Yeah.
a good range for women that we work in is 1.6 to 2.2 grams
Okay.
per kilo of your, and go for your goal weight, right? So if you're 85 kilos and you want to be 75 kilos, and you can, it's a range. And I think if you're in eating in a deficit, it can be beneficial to eat higher protein because it's going to help you preserve muscle. It's the most thermogenic of all macronutrients. So it means you burn more calories, you know, to digest it. But it's about finding what works for you within that range. It's all going to
Okay.
probably work, but it's setting it and then testing it. You know, some people, like in our program, they're just like, I just feel better eating a bit higher protein in the range, or I like eating a bit lower and I like having a bit higher carbs.
Yeah,
So
find your happy
work,
spot.
yeah, work within the range, and just find it's all going to work, Craig says to me. You've just got to be bloody consistent.
That's it.
I
That's it.
think we
That's what
get
I
to.
say.
Yeah, you get too bogged down on the minute details. And then once you've been consistent for a while, then you can get into the nuances and, you know, you might test a bit higher, but just set it, be
Yeah.
consistent, test it, see what happens.
Right. Yeah, I say the same with progesterone and just, you know, supplementing. And so this was so good, and I really, really am excited about the idea of being strong, you know, strong for once in my life, having some muscle mass.
It's so good, Kitty. Like, honestly, I think it, for me, I just find it so empowering, so exciting. And if you can just stick to it for a while and you become better at the skill, because I think women underestimate it is a, it's a sport, it's a skill. It's skill acquisition at the start, you know, and once you nail it, it's easier. But
Yeah.
it's so, exciting, you know, when you go, even now I think about, because I've got this goal about, I want to get to 120, so 20 kilo plates on the hack squat.
Okay.
So I've done 110. I've got up to 110 for 8, and I'm like, I just think about it every week. And I'm so excited about chipping. And when you hit those PBs, it's just exciting. It's so exciting. You feel so strong and so capable.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you've just got to stick with it, you know?
Right. Right.
And keep going.
And so that is what your set, you have the 7 week challenge.
So we have the 7 day challenge.
7 day challenge.
So that, yeah. So that's basically, obviously it's not get your goals in 7 days,
right?
But we're covering all the basic concepts and fundamentals around what we do. You know, how do you achieve that sustainable body composition? How do you eat to support, you know, your metabolism, you know, strength training, tracking, you know, activity levels, energy balance. And that just gives you a really great introduction to what we do. There's a couple of strength training programs in there. One you can do at home, one you can do at the gym, you know, food lists, just example meal plans, you know, MFP videos, how to track your food. And then we've got our actual coaching program. So that's a 16-week program where you work with the coach one-on-one.
Oh, wow.
We get really specific and granular with your goals. It's high accountability and support. You have calls with your coach. You've got to check in every week. We get you to upload videos for feedback so we can really dial in your training. So yeah, they're our two programs.
So 16 weeks, huh? So that's a pretty good idea for people. Like, you're going to, if you're consistent with that program and doing what you guys tell us to do within that time frame, we're going to see changes.
Well, you'll see progress, right? You probably, you're not going to get to your goal in 16 weeks. It depends on where you start, but most women are starting pretty far away from their goals. Like, I always say to women, you have to give this entire, I think, like, if I look at the best transformations in our program, it's 12 to 18 months. Because you won't, there'll be time, shit will come up. Like, people can't see what I'm doing, but the progress isn't linear like this. It'll be like up and down. And that's what we teach you, that this is normal, right?
Yeah.
You're going to fall off the wagon. There'll be times when you're sick. You won't be able to train. You might eat off the plan. You've got to factor in that and make it part of the journey. But the 16 weeks, I think, really gets you set up with the foundations. And then we're going to teach you all the basic principles and skills and tools so that you've obviously got to keep going with it. You can't go back to the old ways. But we're trying, our program just isn't like a challenge where we give you a training program and a diet plan and off you go.
Yeah.
We're actually like, it's customized to you. We're doing regular reviews, we're adjusting things, we're looking at the data, and we're teaching you like how to track your food, what are the macros that you need for body, how to adjust them, how to build your meal plans, how to train properly.
Yeah. And so training in terms of body composition, like, you know, with women, like, I guess this has to do with the way they're lifting. You know, I have this, like, all of my weight, I recruit my whole upper back for everything I do. It's terrible.
Me too.
Oh my gosh.
Me too. I've got big traps.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine I probably would when I start working out, but it doesn't look good because it means like my bottom half is just like a little bony old lady. So I'm like, you know, so that's the kind of stuff that you look at, right?
Yeah. And you're like, 100%.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so we look at your body and you're like, oh, look, I really want to build a bit more muscle in my lower body so we can, you know, like have a more of a focus. Like for me now, I've got a huge back and traps because of just the years of powerlifting and how I deadlift.
Yeah.
So we've designed a program that's much more focused, like really low volume, like no back work pretty much except for like lat pull downs. And I do stiff leg deadlifts, which obviously you use your back, but then it's heaps of glutes and legs and just lower volume on the upper body because I just don't want to build any more upper body muscle.
Right.
You know?
Yours is from muscle. Yours is from building muscle. Mine is from, you know, everyone's got this like kyphosis, the way that they sit, you know, and look at their phones and well, I just had that
posture.
For so long. Yeah, my posture.
But you take photos and upload photos for your coach. So you guys will have a call and you'll be like, all right, we want to improve my posture. We want to do this. And then we design the program for whatever the goal is that you want to achieve. Yeah.
How exciting. Yeah. This is very cool. Well, I am so grateful for your time, Kitty.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for coming on my podcast too. I can't wait to release it.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. I have a lot of people waiting for that one. It's going to be exciting. So, but I'm going to send everybody to you and just, I want a bunch of people in my group to do this with me. I just need to decide which one, if I'm going to do the 7 or if I'm just going to go for the gusto, because I think it's time. It's like, you know, I want to say to everyone, I know this is you're the guest here, but I want to say something in closing, which is that don't wait. You know, when you get older, it's just like harder. It's harder to recover. It's harder. You know, injury is like easier. You know, you're at, like, I fell off this little mini cliff jumping into the river, little tiny cliff. I mean, you would have thought I fell from the top of a building. Like, it just, you know, the older you get and you don't have that structure, you don't have that muscle mass, you don't have that stamina, It just gets harder to recover from the flu, let alone falling, or, you know. So I just, you know, you're an inspiration, and I'm hoping that I can follow through with this because I need it, and so does almost everyone in my group.
It's pretty, like, you know, I think people buy into my energy and my, like, I think how I am, but I genuinely feel like this is so life-changing because it completely changed my life. You know, I was, excuse my French, fucked up.
Yeah.
I just dumb shit. Like, I took drugs, Duramine, or that, you know, that drug that you poop out all your fast. I starved myself. Like, I chewed apples once in 12 weeks. So much excessive exercise. And when I met Craig and I met Emma, I was just like duck to a body, and I was like, this is, and I did it, and I was like, wow, my body's changing. I love the strength training, the food. I was just like, oh my god, I can eat this delicious food, you know, the tracking. And then I was just like, every woman needs to do this, you know. And then I, because at that time we worked in the gym, and I just went out and built this like base of nutrition clients from nothing, just going into other gyms, like in powerlifting gyms, and talking, because I was so passionate about it, because it just, you know, and that's why I'm still doing it, you know, like nights, 9 years later. And even when I talk to men and I interview them on our podcast, just how life changed. And all of our coaches have had amazing transformations too, like coming into the program.
Oh, I bet. I mean, there's so many athletes and healthy people that don't, I shouldn't say healthy people, but like workout people that are not healthy, right? They're doing it all wrong, right? A lot of people. And so that must be the best place to find clients to teach them how to do it better.
Yeah. And it's just so empowering. You know, now you've got the knowledge and the tools. Like, no one does my diet anymore. You know, Craig helps me with my programming. I have involvement in it. I sort of put it together and then he'll consult with me. But the nutrition, I just do on my own. Now I know what works for my body, you know, and it's just, and I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to improve how you look. If you want to change your body composition, just do it in a healthy way.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and you feel good. Like, when you're feeling, you know, I'm a lot bigger than I used to be, but I'm muscular, but I feel sexy, you know, like I'm strong and I have curves and I feel capable and I feel sexy when I'm naked. I'm not like shredded or anything, but, you know, like I feel,
I think
you are. So many women say the same thing to me. Like, I, even when they're not to where they want to be, like this woman I interviewed on a podcast, I remember I signed her up and she was in tears. She was like literally distraught. She's like, Kitty, eating disorder, hated her body, single, I can't wait to release a podcast. And then she worked with Mel, one of our coaches, who's perfect for her, because Mel's had sort of really hard life and she does a lot of emotional work with them. And when I got a podcast to interview, I said to her, I just actually can't believe what I'm hearing. Like, it is like night and day. And she's like, I've only lost 7 kilos. I'm still on the journey. But she's like, I actually love myself again. I look in the mirror and I love myself. And this has saved my life. I love this training. I feel so empowered and strong, and it's just, and she talked about how Mel's helped her too with the emotional side of things. I'm loving my food, not starving myself. Like, it's just, it gave me goosebumps.
Wow. Yeah, we need a whole lot of that. We need a lot of that. Oh, this is great. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me on.
Okay. Don't you love her? I love her. I feel like if we lived in the same location, we would be a lot of trouble together. okay, here's the deal. I mentioned at the end that I really want my peeps to do this with me. Now, I know that it might be a little bit, out of the budget range for a lot of people. So she does offer different levels of this program, of, you know, of her program, of what she offers in terms of getting started. And as she mentioned, you know, it's not just about weightlifting, but it's also about tracking your food, counting your macros, and meal, and what you're eating and when you're eating it. And so I've been doing it off and on for the last year and a half, but listen, off and on is not going to cut it. Not anymore for me. It's just not going to cut it. I'm done with my inconsistent days, and I have fully committed. Well, not fully, because I still need to sign on the dotted line, if you know what I mean, but I'm leaving town for a little bit. And so I want to start it when I get back, but I want to kind of do a whole thing, a whole campaign, and include everyone who wants to join me in doing this. I'm also waiting because I need to budget it a little bit, because I want to do the 16-week course. And so it's kind of a big deal, not just, you know, it's a big investment, but it's also a big deal because I have to get in the right mindset to commit to this level of, you know, working out.
it's not going to be strenuous in the way that all the other like HIIT training and CrossFit and Plight Fit and all these other things that I've been doing and thinking that I, just because I'm doing it slower, that it's good for me. But I, did I tell you guys, or did I mention that I had taken my phone to class one day and I was feeling really good because I had lost some weight and stuff. I might've even said it in this episode. I can't remember because anyway, I filmed myself working out. So for 27 minutes, I was feeling kind of sassy and like I had lost some weight and I was wearing a midriff and I'm like feeling really good about my body. And so I decided to film myself in this Plate Fit class and I was like mortified. it was mortifying. I guess because, sorry, you can just imagine, right? I was like, delete, immediately delete. But I didn't delete it. I saved it so I could show my husband so he could have a good laugh too. First of all, I look like I'm dying. I just look like I'm being tortured to death. and then everything I dislike about my body, and I do not think that I'm hypercritical. I really don't. I think I have a really realistic view of myself. But I do have this like between my shoulder blades, like a bit of kyphosis. Like I feel like I overcompensate for my weaknesses in my upper back. I don't feel like it. I know I do. And I'm married to a chiropractor, so I know it's the truth. And so I don't use my lower body. I really, really, really recruit my upper body. And the exercises I was doing in this class were just reinforcing that. Yes, I did mention it in the episode a little bit. And I was just reinforcing those weaknesses and it was just not serving me. I could tell I was over developing the muscles that didn't need to be developed. And there's not a lot that can be done in 27 minutes of class. There's nobody's going to correct you. You know, I can't really tell what I'm doing right or wrong. So that's how I feel about almost all classes. Like you're not going to get corrected for your personal customized body. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're in yoga or Pilates, they're going to look at you and say, okay, or is she doing this right or wrong? But they're not really thinking, oh, she's got this particular type of body and she needs some posture correction here. You know, they're not going to do that much. And so I think you can do a lot of harm if you're not being guided properly. And so I have decided that, and the same goes with my food. Yes, I have a chef's background. And yes, I have written a few books with meal plans and everything. But I still feel like I need guidance, you know, like I can help guide other people, but I feel like I also need personal guidance. And so for all those reasons, I'm going to take her course. And I want to know who's going to join me. I'm going to post this in the group and on my Instagram and everything. So I want to know who all is going to join me. And maybe like the end of May or the beginning of June would be a good time to start. So that's just giving you guys some heads up about where my head's at. And if you want to join me, we can check in and hold each other accountable in the group, even though you're going to have your own personal coach that you have to kind of answer to as well. And then a really cool thing is Kitty is going to come on and we're going to do a live. So that might be in Facebook or it might be in Healthy Gut Girls Mighty Network that is about to launch as well. Okay, that was a lot of information. I appreciate you sticking around and listening to all that. But I will keep you posted on all the details, including you must follow Kitty Bloomfield's Instagram. She is hysterical, and so is her husband, Craig. And you also check out the show notes because the Saturate info is there. There's a coupon in there for you and all the info about what she offers. Okay, guys, so let's reconnect about this new journey. If you're able to join me, I'm so excited about it. I gotta tell my husband. Okay, guys, talk to you soon.